is Andrew Barber-Sterkey welcoming you to the first of our new Mastermind interview series. Some listeners may know that in the past I had the opportunity to interview over 30 great authors, trainers, and success masters of our time. After a five-year break, I'm restarting this tradition and making the interviews available to my entire database. When I decided to do this, I knew right away who I wanted to interview first, an amazing author and an incredible woman I first interviewed 7 years ago. The reason I wanted her is that I know you, my audience, have big goals and dreams. And sometimes the biggest obstacle to your success is motivation, having the energy, the focus, and the discipline to follow through and do what it takes to make your dreams come true. If you ever get discouraged or lack motivation, I have a solution for you. My guest today is Cynthia Kersey, a total expert on inspiring people to achieve their goals. Her first book, Unstoppable, is guaranteed to rekindle your hopes and get the adrenaline flowing through your veins. The book contains 45 powerful and touching stories about ordinary people who have persevered and triumphed on their own journeys. In 2005, Cynthia wrote her second book, Unstoppable Women, and since has created an audio series called The Unstoppable 30-Day Challenge. All of her material reveals surprising and unknown stories of America's most unstoppable people. Cynthia has done very well and, in fact, even been on The Oprah Show. Congratulations, Cynthia. And has now become one of the best-known motivational speakers and trainers in North America. She's on the line today from her home in Southern California. Welcome, Cynthia.
Well, thank you. What a lovely introduction.
Well, I had to give you a good introduction. I just think you're so amazing. You know, your book is just so inspirational. I mean, for anybody who wants energy, and I think it happens to all of us from time to time. We get down a little bit or get discouraged or whatever. What's so great about it is it contains all the short stories. It's kind of like a chicken soup book in a way, but every story is about somebody who just broke through the barrier.
Yeah.
And then you have in it the content as well, the lessons that are associated with each of the stories. It's just fabulous.
Thank you. You know, it's interesting because I was talking to someone earlier, and he was talking about Walt Disney and Henry Ford. And while they're very inspiring stories, I really was committed to finding the unstoppable people of our day. And so all the people in all of my books were living at the time that I wrote the book, and I just feel that there's a little more relevance to people living in our day and age.
Well, and I've got to tell you, you've got such a great way capturing the information of writing it out. I mean, I cried as I was reading so many of these stories. It brings tears to the eyes. They're so amazing. And, let's face it, every entrepreneur, we all have challenges to overcome. And just to read these stories, start to realize that, boy, what I'm facing is nothing by comparison.
Yeah, and, contrast does help. So, there's always other people experiencing much more difficult challenges. And I think the book helps us put ours in perspective. It's like, oh, okay, if this person failed the bar 52 times, maybe I could pick the phone up and call somebody at this prospect. It's not as big as sometimes we feel like it is.
So I really wanted to give our listeners the best of what you have to offer. So I'm wondering, you've got the two books, you've got Unstoppable and then Unstoppable Women, and then you have your tape series as well. But if you'd be willing, I'd just love to start with Unstoppable, and you identified what you consider to be the seven most important characteristics of an unstoppable person.
Yeah.
And they are, each one supported by great and inspiring stories. But could you touch on some of those principles?
Well, yeah. The first is an unstoppable person is driven by a purpose. And it's interesting because the first book, I went through this journey myself. So when I was going to write a book, before I was going to write a book, I literally asked myself, what is it that excites me? What motivates me? And I realized through the process I'd been approaching it wrong. I actually was at Sprint Communications. I was a national account manager. I was making a lot of money, but I wasn't passionate. And so I started looking into different businesses that I could start. So I loved having healthy food, so I came up with the idea of the healthy gourmet. And then as I researched it, I realized, I don't want to deliver food. I like eating healthy food. I don't want to make it and deliver it. And then a neighbor, I helped him launch an art gallery television show, and I looked into importing and exporting. And I realized through the process that I first needed to step back and look at what gives me joy. What is my purpose? And this is years ago when we didn't have all the books out there on purpose. And as I went through my own reflection, I realized something really simple. Cynthia means reflector of light. And I've always resonated with that. And I thought, well, what gives me joy is I like encouraging people. And so I thought, well, how could I encourage people? And I'd always been encouraged by stories of unstoppable people. I didn't call them that. But that's really what it was. And I thought, wow, wouldn't it be great, to write a book that would inspire people, that would encourage people. And so that's really the first step, is to find something that's in alignment with the question, how can I serve humanity?
Yes, you have a different wording for it. I like to say, how would you like to shift the world? How would you like the world to be different as a result of you being here? And to me, that shift that you're trying to create is your purpose, right?
Absolutely. And it's our own unique way. How you're going to shift the world and the contribution that you bring is different than mine, and it's different from other people. So, the magic of life is really taking the time to get in touch with what is it that lights you up. And one really easy exercise in my book is, what is the action that you most enjoy doing? Who is the group of people that you most want to serve, and what is the end result that you want to create for them? Very simple exercise. And yet for me, when I went through it, I realized, my purpose is to inspire and encourage people from all walks of life. And the end result was to help them believe more deeply in themselves and give them the tools to take action on the goals that really matter to them. And so, excuse me, by going through that process very easily, you can get a sense of what gives you joy, what lights you up. And then once you have that, the second characteristic is passion. Unstoppable people are energized by passion. So, for example, I wanted to encourage and inspire. And based on what I love to do, what I'm really good at, what I don't like to do, you know, there's a range of things that I could have done. You know, I could join the Peace Corps. I could be a mentor. I could teach children how to read. I mean, there's so many ways that you can inspire and encourage.
Yeah, and it seems like the passion and the purpose kind of fit together in some way. You know, a little bit of one and the other gives you that energy that really is the core of being unstoppable. I mean, there's just incredible stories in there. You know, one of my favorite stories in the whole book is the one about the young man in East Africa.
Yeah, like
who spent 15 months just walking to Cairo because he decided in his mind that he wanted to go to school in America, and how that became a reality for him. And that was, it just, but he, you know, he had a passion for it and obviously a huge purpose. It was really deep.
Right. Right. And I think when we can bring a purpose and a passion, you know, our passion, when it's fueled by a purpose, it really does enable us to be unstoppable because it's too important. You know, like I'm doing, my next body of work is Unstoppable Giving, and I have this program that I'm doing to raise $1 million to build 40 schools in Africa. And on one hand, you know, $1 million isn't really, it's nothing, right? On the other hand, the most money I've ever raised is $200,000. Actually, I did that in one night, so it's pretty good. But it's like that purpose, when I think of those children, when you build a school in Africa, it really is life or death. And so I feel so called to step up and be big, right, asking for the kids. And it is that purpose that really fueled me to get this done and to try, you know, to really work on getting Bono and President Clinton and people that would feel a little bit out of my reach. You know, it's like I need to step up because my purpose is bigger than any insecurity or smallness that I might have.
A question, Cynthia, because I've always had the belief that although I meet many people who are doing businesses that or pursuing businesses that are expedient, that really with the primary purpose of making money, what I've seen is that so many times they're not able to succeed just because of the amount of energy that it takes and the amount of commitment and the willingness to go through the really tough challenges in order to succeed. And I'm wondering if that's also been your experience, that it's not just that passion and purpose make you unstoppable, but it's really very, very difficult to succeed if you don't get in touch with those.
Well, yeah, and actually that takes us to the third characteristic, which is belief, or it could be conditioning or paradigm or our programming. That is really, you know, you're right, you can be passionate and you can be purposeful, but if you don't believe it's possible, you won't take the action. You know, our beliefs drive our behavior. And so I know your work, you spend a lot of time on that. I certainly do with my work and coaching and speaking. We spend a lot of time talking about our belief system and how do we shift that paradigm to be bigger. It's kind of like, you know, when I first raised money for Nepal, and then, you know, I decided when I turned 50 this year, I had a big birthday party because I wasn't that happy about turning 50. And I decided, you know, what would make me happy is if I did it as a fundraiser. Then it excited me about it. And, you know, so it was like, so I raised $200,000 that one night, and I thought, okay, what would be possible if I really stepped into that? And I remember I spoke at a conference, and I thought, you know, I would love to get Bono on this call, this giving campaign that I'm doing. And literally a woman in the conference raised her hand. I spoke it as I was speaking. She says, I know Bono. So she gave me her number, and, you know, I didn't call her for like 2 months. And I kept thinking, oh, it's not done yet. You know, the website's not up. I've got to have it all perfect. And what I realized is it was just outside of my paradigm. I really didn't believe he would tell me yes. And so I made a commitment. Once I got it, I thought, you know what, this is ridiculous. I just need to call. And so I did do that, and I'm now in the process of, you know, of getting him or not getting him. But the reality is it doesn't matter ultimately if I get him. If I don't get him, I'll get Clinton or I'll get the right person. But it's more like, for me, I have to continue to expand my belief so I can step into that next greatest version of who I am.
Okay, so how do we go about expanding our belief of what's possible for us?
Well, there's all sorts of ways, you know, continued study, being coached like your program. We have to continue to expand our awareness. And so one way is, of course, through mentors. That's, I think, one of the most powerful ways of expanding our paradigm is through other people. As a matter of fact, and I love this study, there's a Rockefeller University study, and they determined that only 1 out of 10 people were able to create sustainable change in their life, even when their life depended on it. And so here's like somebody says to you, if you don't change your eating habits or your stress or, you know, your exercise, you're going to die. And they still weren't able to change. And then the research further demonstrated that when people had mentors, when they were taught a new way of thinking, a new way of being in the world and seeing themselves, that same group, the success ratio went from 1 to 10 to almost 8 in 10.
Well, that's fantastic. And you know what's interesting about that is this interview is going out to about 5,000 people that we have in our database. And I know for sure that everybody that's listening to it is a person who's interested in creating change in their lives, having something different than they have today.
Yeah.
And I totally believe that every one of them is capable of it. The question is not can you do it? The question is, will you do it? And so, you know, that's a, I mean, mean, if people that are listening realize that 1 in 10 is going to do it on their own.
1 in 10. Even if their life depends on it, that's really kind of a very sad statistic.
But, I mean, I know that in my life, I've been working with a coach ever since I became a coach in 1993, and, you know, I mean, the things that I have done as a result of the challenges and the support and the yeah. knowledge and ideas that I got from my coach, I see how that's true.
Absolutely.
I just, that's interesting to see it verified in a study like that.
Mm-hmm. And that just goes to show how important it is, who we associate with, and getting assistance, you know, having a coach, having support. It's like accountability. It's like I have a trainer. When I go to the gym, I've had a trainer for 8 years. I know how to lift weights. But I have that trainer because it helps me show up. And so that's why your work and my work is so important, because it's way more than just being inspired. You know the studies of the subconscious and conscious mind. It's like only 5% of what we do comes from our conscious decisions. It's that subconscious programming that's running the show. And I completely see how it shows up in my life. And I'm constantly working to expand that belief. And one way that I do that is through, I have some incredible mentors who could see me before I could even see myself many, many years ago.
Well, and it's certainly one of your strengths. We're digressing a little bit from the 7 unstoppable habits. In a way, we are. It's not one of the 7, but what I've noticed about you is that you have done an amazing job of really stretching out. I mean, some of the people that you have connected with and have supported you. I mean, Mark Victor Hansen and Brian Tracy and, you know, Quincy Jones. I mean, just all these amazing people have supported you.
Yeah, Bob Proctor, who's been a very big mentor. Yeah, and you know, I think that, and this is interesting because in the beginning I wanted to get a mentor, and it didn't work the way I thought it would. Like I actually would go up to a couple people and ask them, and it didn't click. So it happened organically. As I was meeting these people, privileged to meet them, and what I realized is that, you know, mentors love, teachers love to teach.
Yes.
So if I can be teachable, there's nothing worse than trying to teach somebody who knows everything. So if I'm, you know, if we're humble enough to be around people and listen and take action and then add value to their lives, you know, that's how you create a lovely win-win mentor relationship. So I think I've attracted it because I'm not just asking. You know, I really want to show up and support them, and I think that, you know, they love me and I love them. So it's, you know, we create a friendship.
Yes, and there's a lot, they get a lot from seeing you rise from,
yeah.
you know, being struggling, trying to get your first book going to being on the Oprah Show, I'm sure.
Yeah.
They were sitting there watching you and cheering you along every step of the way.
Absolutely. And now it's like Mark Johansson said that I actually inspired him on his foundation to create a public foundation. And I think, wow, you know, like I feel so grateful that my work inspires them, you know, to be bigger and to give. And he's pretty big. I mean, he's a big giver and he's a big thinker and he's a big dreamer. And, you know, so we all do add value to these relationships. And I think that's the key of looking at how can I add value and not just ask and take.
You did say that, you know, you didn't just ask, but at the same time, you know, they didn't come seeking you out
right.
either. So where's the balance point? Where, I mean, you have to definitely reach out to these people
yeah.
As you're going to do with Bono and say,
yeah.
I'm here, here's what I'm doing, you know, and invite them in. Isn't that accurate?
Yeah. The one way that I did that, especially with the testimonials for my book, is I always tried to get one person to introduce me. So with President Clinton, I'm going through Millard Fuller, who's the founder of Habitat for Humanity. I'm not saying it's necessary, but it's helpful to at least establish a little bit of credibility. And when I first wrote my book, I didn't know anybody famous. So my client was Kinko's, and the founder of Kinko's, I got him to be willing to write a few letters on my behalf. I wrote the letters, literally. I sent him the self-addressed stamped envelope, and he put his name on it and sent it out to, you know, Harvey McKay says, if you don't have a big name, borrow someone.
Right.
So we don't have to have big names on our own, and it is amazing who will be helpful. And I got some amazing testimonials, and I had to be unstoppable, you know, to the point of, listen, I can't help it. I'm writing a book called Unstoppable. What do you expect? So if you don't want to do it, tell me no. But until you tell me no, I'm going to keep calling you. Because if we don't keep showing up, then we essentially are saying no to ourselves.
Well, you really are hitting on one of the unstoppable principles or a part of it, for sure, which is having a team.
Yeah.
And, you know, one of the people you mentioned in the book there, I actually was reviewing Unstoppable, which, of course, I first read, you know, years mm-hmm. ago. Actually, I don't know if you know this. I think you do, but 2 years ago, I guess, 2.5 years ago, we bought a copy of Unstoppable for all of our Focus members because mm-hmm. I just so believe it's important to get inspired. But one of the people in the book way back in 2001 was, or 1998, right, was Craig
Kielberger. Oh,
yeah.
My gosh, I love him.
Of course, now they've got their book out for me to read, and they've just gone so far, but it was way back then when he was just starting.
Well, right. Well, he was 17 when I interviewed him, but he started Free the Children when he was 12.
What a story that is. And again, with...
Oh, well, and the thing that so how that's continued to evolve is now through my building schools in Africa, I'm going to be building some schools through Free the Children with Craig, and I'm going to his Me to We conference in Toronto on October the 17th, where 8,000 young people are coming together with the intention of ending poverty in their generation, in their lifetime. That's pretty exciting. And here he is, now he's 26. He's my son's age. I have a son that's 26. So, yeah, he's pretty unstoppable. I tell his story a lot because he's so inspiring to me.
Yeah, me too. Okay, so we're moving through. So we've got our purpose, we've got our passion, we've got belief in ourselves, and we jump to team. There's also a piece about preparation,
yeah.
and then to creativity.
Right. So, well, obviously, so you got to put a plan in place. You know, you got to decide what is it that I really do want to create. One thing with the Unstoppable Challenge, my CDs, is that, you know, and I'm sure you have this through your coaching too. It's like, okay, this is what I want to do. Whether it's write a book, raise $1 million, earn a certain amount of money, you break it down into measurable goals and then an action that you can take consistently. So, and then you identify what's the knowledge, resources, or skills that I need to be able to make this happen.
Right.
And then you just break it down into categories. So it makes it kind of simple. And then the creativity part is understanding that it's, you know, it's not a straight path to experience or create the goal that we want. It literally,
you're kidding.
I know, you know.
You're kidding.
I know. I know that's shocking to you.
I work with 5,000 people. I've never noticed that before.
And you know what's funny is I remember, you know, hearing the thing, that success isn't a destination, it's a journey. And I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, like, let me get there.
Yeah, right. Yeah, tell me later. But now I do realize that it is, the goal is simply something that inspires us to grow and to expand. And it really is who we become that in the process that is the real gift. And so when we get, you know, okay, it reminds me of the Hubble, the Space Hubble telescope that was launched, you know, many years ago, and people were so excited about it. And then the first images that came out from space were blurry. And people were outraged, and they were blaming NASA, and Charles Pellerin, who was the director of NASA back then, you know, he always held for the completion of that project, it was still in action. Now, some people said it was failed, and there's no way they could fix it, and he held for, this is just a problem, and he knew eventually they would fix it. And here, you know, you've got the greatest minds, all these rocket scientists working together, and Charles Pellerin came up with a solution and solved it.
But you know, it's like the same with our life. It's an evolution. Yeah. It's an ongoing development. And as you said, it's who we become through the process of the challenges that we face that really allows us to be the person capable of having success.
Well, absolutely. And it is self-management. Next year I'm doing a course called Unstoppable Self-Mastery. And it really is mastering ourselves. It's like learning, you know, we can be conditioned to think a certain way. I'm not naturally optimistic, if you can believe that.
No, I can't, but okay.
I'm not a naturally optimistic person. But I've learned how to be optimistic, right? So when I notice something comes forward, a limiting belief, or I immediately catch it because I can see how do I feel, and I spew it. I use the tools that I'm learning and teach other people on myself. And so as we master ourselves, you know, then we can continue to step into that next greatest version that I believe we're called to be on this planet. And to me, it's about being able to contribute in a more powerful way.
And again, remember what I said, it's not about whether you can succeed and achieve the goals and dreams that you have for yourself. It's whether you will. And in order for you to do that, you definitely have to really master and overcome that self-management part, which I remember we were talking earlier about before we started the phone call about sabotaging behaviors, and it seems like that fits in here. Because isn't it true that we know what we want, we know what we should do, but we don't do it? What's your take on that?
Well, I spent a lot of time talking about that.
Yeah, I know you've never done it yourself, but
yeah, never,
for others.
Well, I've had to master that because there are areas in every single person's life where we don't have mastery over, right? So some things are easier. Some areas it's easier for me to believe, like actually even raising money is an easier area for me to believe than, you know, maybe like finding the love of my life. You know, I would have a more challenging belief in that area. So, you know, the thing is that what happens is we have unconscious commitments, right? So I have a conscious commitment to, let's say you have a conscious commitment to gaining perfect health. And so you're, okay, I'm going to do this. I'm on an eating plan. I'm working out. But our unconscious commitment could be to, I want to be comfortable. I don't want to be told no. I want to do what I want to do, right? So our unconscious commitment is the one that's running the show. It's that subconscious programming. So the first thing is to realize that whatever our experience is in life, our results demonstrate what we're really committed to. So if you say you want perfect health or you say you want to go forward in your business, if you're not taking consistent action, you're not really committed to that. And there's a lot of freedom to really look at and go, wow, I really must be committed to being overweight, or I really must be committed to being stuck in my business, because that's what my behavior is demonstrating.
So what you're saying is that really the only thing that shows what your true commitment is the actions you take.
Right.
Because we can talk all we want.
Exactly.
But I can say that I want to get to the gym or whatever, but until I actually am there working out, I'm clearly not committed.
Not really committed, exactly. And once you can really acknowledge that, then it's like, okay, then we start looking at where do these sabotaging behaviors come from. And it's always one of survival and security, right? So for example, prospecting, and I experience this a lot with people that I coach, and I'm sure you do too, is that people are so resistant to making prospecting calls. So they'll say, okay, I'm ready, I'm going to, you know, double my business this 30 days, and then they look at that phone. And so the commitment, right, what's the payoff for them to not pick the phone up? Well, they're comfortable. They don't have to risk being rejected. They don't have to, you know, a lot of people don't like to be told no. So that's what's winning. So then you have to reframe that and look at one thing that I talk about in sales is really looking at how you're serving them. You know, if you feel like I'm really being of service by sharing something that's really impacted my life, it feels like I'm giving versus taking.
If you feel like you're being of service to the client,
yes.
Then in a way, by not phoning them and making contact with somebody who could benefit from the service, you're withholding from them.
Exactly.
You're doing them a disservice.
Right. And they can say yes or no, but like if you have something you are really excited about, I would not be offended, even if I'm not even interested. I would think, wow, that's pretty cool. It doesn't really apply to me, but that's a cool thing. And yet people have all of these judgments, right? And so as a result, their behavior, they're sabotaging themselves. So it's fun work to really get behind what are we, you know, what are we really committed to? What is the payoff that we experience by the sabotaging behavior, and ultimately, what does it cost us?
So it's almost like there's a scale here where on one side there's the things that are in favor of not doing the action, and then
right.
on the other side there's the benefits and rewards of following through on it,
yep.
and until we get more piled on society in favor of taking the action, we're not actually going to do it.
Yeah, exactly. And the first step to that, because most people just unconsciously do things, right? They're not even aware. So the first thing we have to go is, wow, my behavior demonstrates I'm not really committed to my business. I'm not committed to honoring myself, or I'm not committed to really being healthy. So it's like, is that really true? Is that really what I'm not committed to, or I'm committed to? And then you can make a different choice. And like you said, it is all about it's pain. It's pain and pleasure. We move towards being comfortable.
I'm going to challenge everybody who's listening to this right now to think of an area in your life where you're not getting the results that you want. And first of all, Cynthia, you're saying we need to get conscious of how we're sabotaging ourselves, what we're not doing, and so on. And then look at the true cost of that
right.
for ourselves. And it's one of the reasons I love your book, quite frankly, and all of your work, because you really add a lot to the positive. I'm going to do it now. It's inspiration, mm-hmm. and getting that motivation and then the energy to follow through, the resolve to follow through, is just not possible to read your book and not get that. So I think you add a lot to that story.
Thank you. Well, one reason I think it's so powerful is because people resonate with other people's stories. It's so inspirational because they really do prove that if they can do it, it is possible for me. And one thing about that is whatever we are really inspired by, like, oh, my gosh, like I was so inspired by Millard Fuller, the founder of Habitat for Humanity, and his level of who he is in the world and how he gives. And what I've learned is, you know, just like there's negative projections, there's positive projections. So whenever you see someone and you go, oh, my goodness, you are so fantastic, then it's like an awareness that quality that we are seeing in them is really a disowned quality that's within ourselves. So if we didn't have it within us, we couldn't see it in somebody else. I did an exercise with a workshop I just did 2 weeks ago where we talked about, you know, naming a person that we really admire, or even some people might put them on a pedestal, right? I kind of put Millard on a pedestal. And then really look at what are the qualities. And you could have 10 different people. You could choose a person, Oprah. And everybody would list different things that they really loved about Oprah. Why is that? Because it's a projection.
Right, they resonate with those particular things.
Yeah. So I'm just encouraging you, you know, when you read the book, when you hear these stories, and when you're so inspired, understand that what you're so inspired by, the quality within yourself that wants to emerge.
Well, and it's probably quite honestly why I'm so inspired by your work is that it's very much along the same path of mine. It's my vision and goal is to inspire as many self-employed entrepreneurs, people that are what I call self-managing, and basically are totally responsible for their own results, that they can just manage themselves better and leverage themselves better and so on.
Right.
And that's my vision, is to support them to achieve the lives that they want. And really, yours is very much the same.
Yes, exactly. So there you have it.
That's why you're my number one.
Woo-hoo! And you know what? And that's why I'm driven to write about unstoppable people, because it's that quality within myself that I want to continue to expand. That's how, it's not complicated. You can really tell what people are about by what they teach and what they talk about.
Absolutely. So just for the people who have got structured minds like mine, we covered six of the seven steps in being an unstoppable person. Purpose, passion, third one's belief, fourth one is preparation, making the plan,
yeah.
one's team, sixth one's creativity, but the last one surely is if not the most important, it's right up there. It probably is the most important.
You know, yeah, perseverance. And one of my favorite examples about persistence is the story, and it's not even in my book, it's in my CD though, is the story of an Asian bamboo species. I don't know if you've heard this, but there's a certain type of a bamboo that you water for 5 years, and you're weeding it, and you're fertilizing it, and after 5 years, you barely see this twig. And then in a span of about 6 weeks, it grows 2.5 feet a day to 90 feet and higher. It grows so fast, you can literally hear it growing. And so the question is, did the bamboo grow 90 feet in 6 weeks, or did it grow 90 feet in 5 years in 6 weeks?
Uh-huh.
And what's powerful about that is, of course, it was the 5 years. And all those 5 years, it was developing a massive root system that would later support this magnificent growth. And I think it's such a beautiful analogy. If we can't look to the external world and the results to really verify what's happening in our lives, because we're deepening, we're growing, you're building a foundation so that when life happens, you're able to sustain that foundation because you're grounded.
And I guess that's why it's really so important to be a learner. I mean, so for anybody listening to the call, they're maybe struggling and feeling like they're not moving forward and so on. But if they are actually stretching themselves, trying new things, learning, working with a mentor, and finding different ways to expand themselves, even if the results aren't there yet, they are still deepening their root system. They are becoming a person who is able to become successful.
Right. And you know what? That is the differentiation of people who become versus those who just dream and don't do, is you have to be willing to hang in there long enough. That's why it's important to be doing something. It can't just be about the money. Because unless it's tied to something that's really important to you, you'll quit. So when you're on purpose and you're living your passion and you have a goal or a dream, it's critical to surround yourself, to get support, to read these types of books, to get coaching that can help you stay in action, stay in the game long enough to make it happen.
And even though I so wish this wasn't true, I've been coaching now for 13 years or 15 years full time. It's 15, amazing.
Wow.
And you know what? So many people come to me and they're looking for easy money, and yeah. I hate, for those of you that are listening, I hate to tell you, I have never, ever once, not once in 15 years, seen somebody make easy money and sustain it.
Yeah.
But sometimes you can make a quick windfall, that's true, but I don't care if it's network marketing or internet marketing or trading, anything. I have never seen anybody who wasn't passionate enough about it to really stick the course may be able to make it work for themselves.
I agree.
And so many people are looking for that magic pill, and of course, all of the media and our society is telling us that everybody else is getting it. And I know one time, some of us meant to be interviewing you, but I was in a room one time about 100 people, and I actually asked them, so listen, this is a group of people that are really committed to growing and reaching, you know, getting this financial windfall. So what I'd like everyone to do is just write down the names of two or three people you know that have kind of made the easy money, and then we'll share it in a group, and we'll all learn from it.
Yeah.
So there's 100 people, everybody, you know, kind of sits there for a few minutes and says, okay, let's go. What's the best way we've found to make that easy money? Not one person knew anyone that hadn't gone through these basic steps and ultimately to the perseverance.
Right. You know, it is the person. It is our consciousness. It is our paradigm. It is our conditioning that is the distinction. It's not the opportunity. You know, it's who we are. And that's why these qualities that we're talking about and this mindset is so important, because how many times do you know millionaires who've lost money and then they made it again?
Of course.
You know, they had that consciousness within themselves. And so it is really important. And this is the distinction. If you have these qualities, you can be unstoppable in any area of life.
So let's transition over. I mean, we've been kind of jumping back and forth, but you wrote a second book, the Unstoppable Women book, in 2005. So why did you pick women? All the stories centered on women. I mean, obviously, the principles are totally applicable to everybody, and I would encourage everybody, man or woman, to read this book. It's got great principles. But why the women's side of it?
Well, first off, women buy 85% of the books out there.
Okay, that's a good reason.
Secondly, I'm a woman. You know, and I love women. And I noticed clearly when I wrote my first book, you know, it was hard to get the stories about the women. Now, you read a lot more about women, but when I was writing Unstoppable, I mean, I had to make a concerted effort to make it even, women and men. And so I just think women, really need a lot of inspiration, and they buy it. I mean, women, you know, women are big purchasers of this kind of stuff. And I love working with women, so it was like you said, the book, I have a lot of men who purchase it, and the Unstoppable Challenge CDs have men and women stories, because I didn't want to just,
So the Unstoppable Women book was your first, you know, it's achieve any breakthrough goal in 30 days.
Yeah.
I thought it stepped in it, but then when you turned it into the CDs, you actually broadened it out so that us men would be able to.
I wanted to include you all. But yeah, basically the first book is about finding your purpose and your passion and belief and, you know, preparing and, you know, putting a plan together and developing those qualities. Unstoppable Women and the Unstoppable Challenge audio program is about, okay, great. Now I'm going to take a goal, something that would invigorate me, and really get into very specific actions. So, you know, it's a 30-day program that assists people in developing, again, that mindset that helps them stay in action long enough to achieve their goal.
And the stories in this book are just, again, they're so inspiring. I mean, men or women, I don't care, but the woman who completed the New York Marathon on crutches, 68 times.
She's been the slowest runner in the New York Marathon, I think, like 18 times in a row or something.
Mm-hmm. Unbelievable. So we're talking about inspiring people and then going to follow through with the steps. So tell me about the community. I mean, one of the things I found that we've created in our organization is really a community of people that are like-minded, and we energize each other. And I've watched what you've done with Habitat for Humanity. And, you know, if it was just you doing it on your own and kind of a solo adventure, I'm sure it wouldn't have been the same. I mean, how's the community work for you?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I think it's always important to find partners who are really good at what you want to do. So what I'm good at is enrolling and raising money and sharing a story. What Habitat, I partnered with Habitat because they were the in-country partners. So literally, we put a team together, and 10 years ago, how many years ago? Mm-hmm. 8 years ago or so, I went to Nepal. I raised $200,000, and we built 100 homes. Well, we built the first three of 100 homes that were going to be built. Now with my Africa project, again, I'm teaming up with in-country partners who are excellent at being able to go into a community, a rural community in Africa, and bring a school in there, bring clean water, be able to help people create a business.
But they need someone like yourself.
Yeah.
Money.
The money. You've got to have the money. And that's why it's a beautiful partnership, because we need both.
Well, that's a beautiful segue to your next project, which you mentioned earlier. But tell us about what the next book is and where you're headed from here.
Well, thank you. The next project that I'm actually launching in November of 2008 is called the Unstoppable Giving Challenge. And so my intention is to raise $1 million. And the way that I'm going to do that is to build 40 schools in Africa. And the way that I'm going to do that is deliver a program, an online course. I'm going to bring on amazing people. And actually, I was brainstorming with Bob Proctor. And it's going to be called $1 Million Idea, How to Develop $1 Million Idea to Change Your Life and to Change the World. And so I'm going to bring on people who are big, big thinkers, big idea people, and they can and implement them. So, because this is $1 million idea, right? My idea is to raise $1 million and give it away to in-country partners to build schools. I'm bringing on David Bach. He wrote Go Green, Get Rich. So he can assist people on creating a million-dollar idea to make money by creating social responsibility or green opportunities or, you know, things like that.
Wow.
And so it's going to be very exciting, but it'll cost, so you can't buy the program. You can't buy that course, and it's going to be amazing. The only way you can get it is to donate $100. And what I'm doing is I'm encouraging everyone. I'm making it so awesome. I mean, you would pay $1,000, $2,000 for this online course. You're getting all the transcripts. You can listen to it at any time. You've got the MP3. I mean, it's a really quality program, notes, overviews of each of those sessions. But we're making it really easy so you can send it out to 9 of your friends. And the goal is to get each person to help get 9 other people so they're raising $1,000. And then they become a builder. You know, they're like a partner. Their name's going to go on a plaque, and they're going to get some additional bonuses. But we're going to make it fun and viral so that people, literally, by sharing this with other people, are going to be a part of raising $1 million. And in Africa, when you get a kid in school, it is the difference between life and death. The meals that they get in school are sometimes the only food that they have. So it's so exciting. As a matter of fact, I'm going to be going to Africa in April. So if anybody's interested in attending that with me, I'm going to 3 countries, Liberia, Kenya, and Uganda. And we're going to have seen, by in April, these schools are going to already be under construction. So I'm going to go there and, you know, bring some pictures back and just spend time connecting with these real people whose lives are absolutely going to be transformed as a result of the generous people who not only want to improve, but, you know, help enroll other people in that. So if you're interested, go ahead and send me an email, and we'll put you on the list when we go out and promote it.
We'll get the email address a little later. 2 things I want to go, and then we'll wrap up, so it's right there for people. But first thing I want to ask about this giving thing. So if everybody talks about gratitude and tithing and so on, in my experience, very few people actually practice it. So obviously you give a lot, and why is it important, and what does it bring you?
Well, I mean, you know, I'm doing a whole book on this. Giving, literally, if you want more happiness, more joy, more everything, giving. They have scientific research that proves it increases longevity. I mean, you've heard of the helper's high. I mean, there's studies, 50% of the people who give literally have an experience of being euphoric. I mean, I've definitely experienced that myself. So there's just so much research out there that when we give, when we come from a place of service, we receive. And it goes back into the law of giving. When you look at the metaphysics, giving and receiving really are one and the same. So if you're just looking to, what am I going to get, you're clogging the energetic flow of the law of giving and receiving, right? So many times people think, I can't give until I get, and that's not accurate, because they think, oh, I have to give money. You can give a smile. You can give a blessing. You can lend your ear. You can give love. You can be present.
When giving or love or whatever it is, it's flowing out from you, money. When something is flowing out from you, it basically creates a cycle where something comes back.
Exactly. Because when I give, think about it. If you see somebody who feels down and you smile at them, or you listen, or you give them something, or you might give them a flower, or you acknowledge them, or you touch them, and they look at you and smile, how do you feel?
Always better, warm, fuzzy.
Yes, absolutely. We experience that love within ourselves. When I went to Africa, I had the experience when I was with these women 2 years ago. I went to a rural African women's conference, and I literally felt like I was in heaven. How is that for being euphoric?
That's a good feeling. I know it is absolutely true, and it's addictive, isn't it?
It is, and it can be a positive addiction. And at the end of the day, it really is a way of being. And the more you start to give, if you're not a big giver, I'm guessing it's only because you feel like you don't have the time, you don't have the resources. But a way that you can give is just to start giving daily, having an intention that somehow you're going to be of service.
So you could just put up a little sign on your computer that says, "What am I going to give today?"
Yeah.
And because really, I guess what you're saying is that if we're not giving, we're coming from a place of scarcity. And of course, we know with the law of attraction, scarcity attracts scarcity.
There you have it. Yeah. And if you are coming from a place of getting, you're not going to attract. Getters don't attract people.
Uh-huh.
You know, it really is, if you want somebody to give to you, give to them. And it doesn't matter where you give. So the universe doesn't keep track. I remember I talked to Bob Proctor about this, and he says when he gives people money, he said he doesn't really care, ultimately, if they take that money and go dig a hole and stick it in their backyard. He's not responsible for what they do with it. He's responsible for his own energy about giving.
He's opened up the flow.
Yeah.
Whatever happens with the money is insignificant compared to the experience that he's creating.
That's right, because we're creating that energetic field. So as I give, I don't think, oh, well, you need to give back to me, because I don't even keep track. And plus, it screws up your own attitude about it. So it's like, you can't give grudgingly. That doesn't work either. So I've given people money and then lent them money, and it was clear I wasn't going to get the money back. And I started feeling resentful, and I thought, this is not good. I can't be in a state of resentment. So I called them. First off, I got my own attitude right. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to give them this. And I didn't feel like it wasn't like out of pity or wasn't out of resentment. It was one of love. And as soon as I was able just to give it and release it, it shifted my vibration as well.
Right. So it's not only just one of love, but it's actually strategically smart, because when you let go of your attachment to it and the resentment, then you change your vibration.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm grumpy, and I'm not happy around them, and I'm annoyed. And it's like, that's not hurting them. That's hurting me.
Exactly.
And I can't, that's not going to work.
We could talk all day until that book comes out, but the Unstoppable Giving. But for now, we need to bring ourselves to a close here. So your book's Unstoppable and Unstoppable Women, they're available in bookstores. I know here in Vancouver they are. And
Amazon.com.
Right?
Yes.
And then you have the audio series, the Unstoppable Challenge.
Yeah. And so you just go to unstoppable.net. and you go to audio programs, and there's a 30-day challenge. And for your listeners, Andrew, I'm going to give them half price. So, but you need to use this coupon, okay?
Because
ordinarily, it's a 10-CD series, and it's got a resource guide and a Getting Ready workbook. It's really an extraordinary program. And the way that you get it is when you go through the checkout in the store, you enter a coupon. And it's B as in boy, Z zebra, T as in Tom, D David, Z zebra, 119. And that's the coupon code. And if you have any questions or need some assistance, just email me, cynthia@unstoppable.net, cynthia@unstoppable.net, and that's two P's. If you need any assistance in ordering that, didn't get the coupon, or you want to be a part of my giving campaign, it's going to be an extraordinary, it doesn't matter when you're hearing this interview, once you sign up for it, you'll get the first lesson. So you could even start in December or January and still be a part of it. And really, more importantly, to be a part of really helping children in Africa. You create a new life and a new future, and education is the number one way that we can really help this cycle of poverty and really move them into a place of self-sustaining and empowerment.
Yeah, so just make a distinction so that the CDs they purchase, and they can purchase them online and
unstoppable.net.
And then the being part of the giving program. Well, you know what? I think that we should probably start right here, Cynthia. So now, what do I do if I give $100? Then you send me something, and I can get 9.
That'd be great. Yeah, that'd be great.
We'll quote you then.
Thank you, Andrew. Appreciate that. Maybe you could send it out to your whole list of people and really let them have an opportunity to do this. That would be great.
We'll get it on our website or on the bottom of the newsletter. This newsletter that goes out.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. And so we'll add you to the list, and it's going to go out within a month. We'll be in contact with you about that. So I really appreciate it. Do you see how simple it is?
It's really, so easy. I feel good. I feel good.
You're already feeling good, but you already started this process. You're going to be feeling great. By the time you're done this 10-week online course, you're going to feel even more unstoppable.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
So, we need to wrap up now, but just on behalf of all of our members and everybody, I'm sending this out to my entire database. I just want to, it's part of my giving back, actually. So I want to thank you so much for taking the time to be with us, and it's just fantastic. I look forward to next time you're in Vancouver, us getting together and connecting again.
Well, thank you, Andrew. I acknowledge you for your great work and the quality and the value that you bring to your people, and it's exciting to be on this journey together. So God bless you, and God bless everyone who's listening to this call, and I look forward to being with you guys again soon.
Thanks very much. And so this is Andrew Barber-Starkey saying goodbye for now. And I look forward to bringing you another ProCoach Mastermind interview next month.